Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord and Good Shepherd. This morning I should like to direct your attention to the words of our Lord which St. John records in the 10th chapter of his Gospel, the 16th verse. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock and one shepherd. This ends in Christ Jesus. At first glance, it seems rather evident that we are a long way from the one flock of which our Savior speaks in this text. The Christian church continues to be fragmented into hundreds of denominations, and there are probably as many separate religions, each claiming to worship the true God, as there are denominations in Christendom. Yet, it certainly seems as if we are a long way from the goal that our Savior outlined in the text. It seems as if the church is fragmented. What is it? It's an absolute sign that things are often not what they seem to be. For that reason, the scientists speak of abstract theories and of concrete, common sense theories. And in the history of science, the concrete, common sense theories have been replaced by abstract theories because, you see, things are often not what they seem to be. For many years, we accepted the Talmudic theory, a geocentric theory. It was evident that the stars and the sun revolved about the earth, and that the earth did not move. Today we accept a heliocentric description of the nature of the solar system. We replace that common sense, evident theory with a much more abstract theory. And today most of our theories in science are abstract. Try to convince someone who has not had the benefits of a 20th century education that this pulpit is not at all solid, that it's mostly empty space, and that it's made up of particles in constant motion. So it is with the truth. It appears to be fragmented. It appears as if our Lord's goal and his promise have not been accomplished. But is it really fragmented? Is the church that we see the church of which our Lord spoke? Is that the church of which also we speak in the Apostles' Creed? Indeed, if this fragmented church is the one of which we speak, why is it that we must confess, I believe, in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints? For that church is one which we can see, and it isn't really necessary to believe in it, it exists. Now our Lord had a different church in mind, one in which we must believe because we cannot see it. A church that is holy, because the sins of all its members have been forgiven through the sacrifice of the Good Shepherd. A church that is truly Catholic, because it is truly universal. And it is the existence of that body that is so comforting to us. when we consider the pain and the heartache that denominationalism brings to every sincere Christian. No one can be happy if the divisions which he sees about him in visible Christendom, divisions which exist among those who claim Jesus as their only Lord. No one can be happy with the thinking that we have seen in our own church body. No one can argue that these divisions are in keeping with the Lord's will. For the Lord clearly wants his Christians to be one. And yet there is comfort in the unity that we have with all men throughout the world who truly accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And more than this, there is an incentive to seek that unity also with brothers and sisters in the visible church who share that faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a second emphasis in our text. Jesus speaks not only of one flock, but he also speaks of one shepherd. We live in an age of pluralism, not only so far as denominations are concerned, but also so far as religions are concerned. There are those who are deeply offended when we insist that any who do not worship the Son, even as they worship the Father, are practicing a faith that is incomplete and inadequate. And there are those who express concern when missionaries go to foreign lands and by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ upset cultures that are based on loyalty to a different shepherd. The scriptures know only one shepherd and one Lord. The God whom we worship is jealous of his prerogative. Our Lord himself refers to other shepherds as thieves and robbers. There is only one way by which a man can gain forgiveness and be reconciled to the God who created him, and that is by faith in this good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. A vague faith in a supreme being isn't enough. It is the good shepherd who must be acknowledged as the one shepherd of the sheep. There is a faith in faith itself adequate. That faith, which only the Holy Spirit can create, must be directed towards the Good Shepherd. It is for that reason that our Savior speaks of other sheep who are not of this fold. Men and women who in all eternity have been chosen as members of the one flock. These two must be brought into the fold. Now that the Savior has left this earth, we must be his agent in carrying out this program and in accomplishing this. As pastors, we are called to be under shepherds, caring for the sheep by directing them to the chief shepherd and seeking the lost sheep among those who have not known Christ as the one shepherd and who are therefore not members of the one fold. Sheepherding is strenuous. At times, it is very lonely. It's also a very rewarding time. We heard on Monday that to be named pastor or under shepherd is to be paid the highest compliment. But what is most important, it is to act as shepherd and the under shepherds of the good shepherd that we have been called. Amen.